Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves us so much. I love the Lord our God and King, and His return is very soon, even imminent. And I thank God that He is coming back. I rejoice to see my King, but I want to do as much as I can on the behalf of Him and the behalf of His people as I possibly can. There are many, my heart goes out to people that have not made up their mind to love and follow God. But the Lord has a way of doing this thing, and I trust His way, and I thank God for what He's revealed to me. But I desire that all people get saved just like He does, but that won't happen. People choose not to follow God for their own reasons. But I know I love the Lord my God and King, and His return is imminent. And He's going to come back at a time that people think not. Now, I can't go by how people say that things are going to go and how what they're looking for. I'm looking for Jesus. And I know that He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. And that was in 2017, November 2017. I thank God for the duration of time that He's given us, the mercy and grace that He's given us. Many people responded by repenting, so He delayed it. And now more than ever, His return is imminent. So I thank God for that. Now, today is Monday, August the 30th, 2021. And I thank God for what He's doing. He loves His people, and we all know He enough to die in our place to save us from sin. Sin is something to be saved from. And some people toy with sin. Sin is not a toy. Sin is something to get rid of. Even a snake sheds its old skin. You know, we got to shed it. We got to get rid of it. It's something to drive out. And if you don't drive it out, it leavens you and you start another process of sin all over again. Sin is something we can't live with. There's no reason for it. The Lord gave us the whole kingdom. There's no reason to remain in any form of sin. There's no reason to be baited away from God. You know, when Satan dangled bait before your eyes, you know it's trouble. Rebuke it. You don't have to go for it. You don't have to be enticed and drawn away of lust. You can drive all the lust out. Now, I learned to be proactive about that. You can't leave sin up to happenstance. You have to drive it out. Sin is always an attack. It's something to distract you and get you to bait you away from life. Sin is an enemy against life. It's an enemy against God. It's an enemy against salvation. It's an enemy against wisdom. An enemy against all knowledge. And when you go that route, you end up in disarray. Now, the Lord told me there's three avenues that the enemy uses to abort man's abilities. One is weaknesses, hurts, and fears. Those are the three avenues that the enemy is going to come against you. So, if you know you have a weakness, you have to deal with it. You have to study the Word and become strong. Now, I love confessions because that's how we apply the Word. When you receive God's Word, and then you come to a point you believe God's word, and then when you apply it, that's called faith. Faith is an act. Faith is always an act. Even if you're waiting, that's patience, which is an act. Faith is the active mode of trust. So, or the active mode of belief. There's a difference between believing and trusting. Trusting is believing God because of the past. Believing is trusting God without the past. But when you act on either one, they both become faith. If you trust God and when you act on your trust, it's faith. when you believe God and you act on your belief, of your true belief, word-based belief, it is faith. The just shall live by his faith. When God give you knowledge, you receive it, you believe it, and you act on it. It's faith. When God give you wisdom, you receive it, you believe it, you act on it. It's faith. Because you're acting on the word of God. Anytime you act on the word of God, guess what it is? Faith. If you act on the word of Satan, it's rebellion. It's deception. The beginning stages can be deception, but it turns into a rebellion because it doesn't work. When you know you're wrong, it's rebellion. When you're not sure, it's deception. And sometimes we can't tell. That's when the Holy Spirit, the fear of the Lord will rise up. If there's any word in you, if there's any love in you, then you have something to fight from. But if your heart hardens, God has nothing to work with. And when the spirit, fear of the Lord rises up to help you, there's nothing, there's no love in you for him to work with. And you won't care. See, that's the problem. When you get to the point where you're in rebellion, you don't care whether it's right or wrong. And even if you do somewhat care, you'll walk away sorrowful like the rich young ruler did. Whenever you're wrong, you walk away sorrowful. Every form of poverty is in disobedience. Disobedience leads to every form of poverty. It's there, but as it grows, it gets worse and worse. So if you want to get rid of every form of poverty, come out of disobedience into obedience. Every form, there's no poverty in obedience to God. Anytime you're obeying God, you're on the right track. Now, these things are spiritually discerned. You can tell them, whether you're good or bad, you can know these things. But the problem with deception and rebellion, though the love of God is suppressed. Without the love of God, nothing works. Even if you know, you can look over there and see your brother in the Lord and rejoicing and having a good time in the Lord, and you can't do it. You know, if you chose the dark way, when people choose the dark way, they can't do that, and they get sorrowful. They won't follow God because they're trapped in the world. They won't let the sin go. You know, it's like the dog that grabbed a steak, it's burning his mouth, but he won't let it go. That's how sin is. It works against you in every form. People believe they need to do what they're doing. They think they got it all figured out, and they don't. But when you look over and see people rejoicing in the Lord and having a good time, then the enemy has to, you know, he's afraid that you'll come out of it, so he give you evil thoughts against them. Poisonous thoughts against people, the people of God. If you have a problem with God, you're going to have a problem with his messenger. And if you have a problem with his messenger, it's easy to have a problem with his word and his people and everything that's of God, even life itself. Knowledge is at war with knowledge. There's a knowledge of God and there's a knowledge of the world. The knowledge of the world is at war with the knowledge of God. You know, lust is at war with life. Pornography is at war with family. You know, drunkenness is at war with soberness. Foolishness is at war with knowledge. Foolishness is at war with wisdom. Knowledge is at war with deception and rebellion, and so on and so forth. So when you adopt Satan's ways, you begin to take on his personality. And that's just the way it is. Whenever Israel had a king, over time they took on his personality. The whole nation did. And that's true for every form of society. Anything that's anybody's, if they're in charge long enough, It can be a social club, a savings club. It can be a church. It can be a business. Even churches. Whoever's in charge, if they're in charge long enough, it'll take on their personality and limitations. But see, when we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and that sounds so cliche, isn't it? That sounds like a cliche, something people say but don't really have the depth of thought with it. A cliche is like a thoughtless proverb. You know, people know it has depth, but you ignore the depth and you say what sounds good. But when people look to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, they're ever progressive. They have no limitations. But when you look to a Bible scholar, now they can get you saved, they can get you healed, they can get you blessed, but they have limitations. Let's say the pastor, he's a Bible scholar, and he studied the Word and he teaches the best he can. And he'll get people saved and he'll set free according to what he believes. As good as he does, he'll do well. You can be a Bible scholar, an honest man, a wonderful person, and not completely have your eyes on Jesus. When that happens, you'll be traditional. Now, I want to do a comparison. But any man of God or woman of God, they're looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, continually, not just when things go wrong or when things go right. Sometimes people look to God when things go wrong, and once it gets normal, they just kind of go back to however they do things. But see, when you're continually looking to Jesus, hearing from him, spending time with him in a relationship, the people see you doing that, and then they'll do it. Parents that look to Jesus continually, they do the same. They see their parents ever develop, and they learn to live without limits. And the more limits they learn to live without, the better their life gets. And so they expect when they seek the Lord, their life will be without limits. The things that we put in motion, they are without limits. They are without limits. There are no limits in God. And when I put all the things that God give me on the top shelf. Now, the way I mean it when I say I put it on the top shelf, I'm not setting it over there to forget about. It's the top shelf of priority. The main thing I do is what God give me. That's more important than everything else. And I want to explain that, because I always say whatever God brings to me, I put that on the top shelf. That's my first priority. It goes over everything else. I have a business, and when I retired, I had a decision to make whether to expand it, leave it the same, or I can get a shop and expand it, or I can do get a service truck and do mobile service for businesses and expand it and get and hire employees, and then I have to pay insurances, and there's a lot of money to be made. I can do this, but the Lord gave me a ministry as well as the business. And what God gave me to do ministry-wise is very important. I also have a family and a daughter with special needs, so I want to make sure, I want to be around my family more. So I put what God gave me, that's my top priority. And because it's so difficult to find good mechanics that will work for me, you know, they're out there, but most of them, they work for themselves or whatever. And I know that a lot of mechanics are not, they're good at one thing. they can't multitask. And I just don't know any that can do the things that would be required. I know I could find one. God will connect me with one if that's what I want to do. But a business takes a lot of energy. A business to do that, if I expand it, it's going to take a lot of thought and dedication. In this stage of my life, I want to spend more time with my family. Also, I want to make sure I do all the ministry things God has given me. So that goes on the top shelf. The business, I can make it unlimited, but it's comfortable. So I had to make a choice. And I present things before the Lord. He can change it as we go. But for right now, I keep it in the state that it was in. And it's still progressive, but we live without limits when we trust God. Everything of God is without limits. The ministry it has no limits. The amount of people that this ministry reaches is huge. And I say that because of the revelation that God has given me. This is the thing. When you follow God, it is without limit. When you look to the Lord and you're doing precisely what He says, you're in the strategy of God. And when people look to you, they'll see you doing things in the strategy of God. Eventually, it'll make sense to them. Because if you keep looking at God, you're going to see more and more. You're going to ask questions. You're going to see why. You're going to wonder, why is God doing it this way? It doesn't look like it's working. But yet, it's ever progressing. The revelation, anybody that's been listening to me for the last 5 years, I've been doing that since 2016, and this is 2021. This is the fifth year. The revelation is going up because God is reaching you. He's reaching people, and I get reports. Now, I don't get reports from people. I get reports from the Lord. And He confirms what He's doing. So when you look into the Lord, you're ever progressive. You're ever appropriate. You have no limits. But if you do it out of your mind, you have limits again. But see, when you watch God, he's going to always make adjustments that are necessary for Him to do even more. Jesus said this. He said, if you bear fruit, He'll purge you that you bring forth more fruit. Now, I happen to be a mechanic, so I'm going to give you a mechanic's analogy. In the old days, in the 70s and early 80s, cars didn't have computers. In the mid 80s, they started having computers to monitor. They tried to lower the emissions. So what they did was, they took in measurements of air and the atmosphere. They have what they call a barometric pressure sensor, and it measures the pressure around the car. So used to, in the 70s, cars had points and plugs, and they still have plugs, but they had points and condensers, and you had to adjust it. They had carburetors. You had to tune it. So when you did a tune-up, you had to ask the question, where are you going to go this week? All right, they said, we're not going out of town. Well, you adjust the carburetor for the atmosphere that they're driving in. But if they say, we're going on a trip to the mountains, well, now you need to, the air is thinner up there, so you adjust the carburetor for the mountains. You may run it a little bit richer or leaner. You know, you adjust the air for that area, so the car run good when they go to the mattress. Now, see, the air is thinner up there, so you don't have the weight of the air. And that's one situation that the computerized cars can control. Another was timing. Those cars had mechanical timing. And they had you set the timing according to specs, and you tweak it to make sure it run like it should, because the timing chain can have a little slack. You have to adjust it a little different. So you make all your tweaks, but once you set them, they're set. They don't move. And you may have to tweak it again when your customer come back from vacation. Okay. They have sensors to let you know how much oxygen is in the exhaust, how much is going into the engine. They have a manifold absolute pressure sensor. That's the first stage they had. It measures the pressure. See, the intake is a vacuum, but they measure the pressure to help regulate the fuel and make it perfect. They got better and better at this. In 96, they came out with what you call OBD2, and that's when cars really started lasting a lot longer, because the computer was always tweaking the car to run its best. It's like having a mechanic riding along with you, tweaking the car as you drive it. And I know that sounds absurd, but that's what the computer does. And what happens is you had less fuel. The old cars had chokes, and you get more fuel in the oil. So cars lasted about, they did good the last 50 to 60,000 miles. A person that did regular oil change might get 100, and it'll be wore out. I'm talking about the older non-computerized car. But then when they came out with OBD2, it got better and better, and people started getting 300,000, 400,000. Well, first 200, and then 300, and then 400. It's still in the mind of people that a car's wore out at 100,000, but nowadays cars are just broke in at that point. So the computer is always tweaking it to make it better. So cars started lasting a lot longer. And they're doing better things with smaller engines. They're getting more horsepower with smaller engines, because it's ever progressive. So the reason I brought all that up is to show you, when you keep your eyes focused on the Lord, your relationship, your prayer room relationship with the Lord, you're looking to Him, He will forever tweak you and help you do what's appropriate, do what's necessary. You're going to have fresh revelation. Things are not going to sneak up on you. He'll show you what the enemy is doing. If you're paying attention to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And along the way, you're going to have curiosity questions of life. When you ask the Lord your questions, he's going to answer you. And it's going to enable you, my friend, to do even better. Now, you're doing this in the sight of everybody you know. And your life is ever ramping up, ever appropriate. So when people talk to you, you have a strong word. Your message is irrefutable. And when you talk to people that love the darkness, they don't come around, because they know you're good at this. They know what you're going to say. They know your perspectives. And when you say things, you solve doubts. So the devil that's driving their life is going to try to keep them from coming around you. And they'll come around when they have to, because Satan don't want to lose their soul. Satan is afraid that they will hear the word somewhere and repent. And they like what they're doing in the world. So it's just like Jesus said after he made mention of Nicodemus and John 3:16, he mentioned also that people don't come to the light because they don't want their darkness exposed. See, it goes both ways. God is ever giving you what it takes to help people understand. And people that love the darkness, they're trying to stay where they're at. You know, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Then he said in verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." See, we're already judged. We're already going to be judged. Everybody is already judged. But when you believe on Jesus, the judgment is gone. You're in life now. There's no reason to judge you. We'll read that part again. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, were evil. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Some people are trying to save face. They decided that they're going to do what they want to do, and they protect their devotion to evil. So their concepts are backwards. They allow themselves to sin. They allow themselves to steal from their friend's table. You know, I gave an analogy once that people who eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, like Adam did. Now Adam was the first one. He didn't have fully understand how bad this was going to be. But he sinned. He rebelled. Eve was deceived. But when Adam did it, both of their eyes were open. He knew he messed up bad. He hated what he did, but he had done it. And now he's going to be judged. So the Lord promised to send the seed of woman, and he could live through the seed of woman, which is Jesus. And Satan tried to stop Jesus through evil men that hated the light. The people that rose up against the light are no different than your brothers and sisters that won't get saved. I'm going to say that again. The people who were an enemy to the light, they are no different than all of our loved ones, our brothers and sisters that will not get saved. They share the same spirit. This kind of rebellion, we see it throughout the Word of God. There were people who loved the light and contended for a few people compared to the masses of people that love the darkness. And see, the people who love darkness, it's a system. They agree with one another. It doesn't matter. People talk about the racial division, but guess what? The same spirit is tolerated among the wicked. It can be an American from a Christian family that don't believe on Jesus. They will have more sympathy for ISIS than for people who love God. They have it's internal. People that love the world, they love the world and they mean it. And they sympathize with people in the world. Same spirit. People on their different levels of wickedness, of course. Some people wouldn't do that yet, because the world, they wasn't around the world to corrupt them even more. But if they're in the world enough not to come to Jesus, it's the same problem all over again. I gave an analogy of a wealthy man that had compassion on people. And, you know, just like in L.A. and places where they have too many homeless people, he bought a park. He made a place where they can take showers and have a tent city. And then he helped them get jobs again, helped them get on their feet. And then one day he invites them to his house to have a banquet. And some of the people come and they're very appreciative. And they're getting on their feet, about to buy houses. They're back with their families. You know, they went through rehab. Whatever they took, they did it. But then there are those who have done all that, And then they steal the silverware. And you know, the precious things in his house, they try to put it in their pocket. And, you know, a person that will help you like that, there's no reason to steal from you. Getting on your feet, you can take care of yourself again. There's no reason to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again. That's the point of all this. God gave Adam every tree out there, except for one. And he had to go bother it. The kind of people that the Lord will rapture, they will not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil if they were in Adam's position. They will not lust after women. They will not do the wrong things listed in Galatians 5. They will follow God, and they want to, and they learn how. And the Lord is mightily moving through them. Not only are they not doing negative things, they're doing positive things. They're following God. They're learning and growing. And God can have a relationship with them. There's no reason to do evil. That's the point. And God can clean it up. You can have brand new desires. Now, this broadcast is to let people know where God stands. Because his return is imminent. And he is about to return. But when he returns, it's a statement. He's gonna prove what's right with what's right and what's wrong with what's wrong by the people that he leave behind and the people he take with him. He said people on earth will be looking for their people and people in heaven will be looking for their people in heaven. Consider these things. Now I'm out of time.